This is the April 17th meeting of the National Audit Committee. I'm Susan Young. I am the chair of the committee, and Kim Kaufman is the secretary of the committee. Kim, will you be kind to take the roll?
Hold on a second. 1 second. I just was texting a couple of people to get them to come on the meeting. So
appreciate it.
But okay. So Fred Blair.
Present.
Sarah Brown. Chris Corey. Jim Dingman.
Here.
Thank you, Jim.
Sue Goodwin. I heard you were here.
Sue, would you be kind to unmute?
I'm here.
Thank you, Sue. Wally James?
Here.
Zach Caldevere?
He said he would be late.
Okay. Allie Lexa?
Present.
Oh, great. You got Catherine O'Sullivan? Darlene?
Here.
Marilyn Boyd Downey?
I'm there.
Egberto Willis?
He may come late.
Susan Young?
Here.
Okie doke. I can go back. Sarah Brown, Chris Corey, Zach Caldevere, Catherine O'Sullivan, and Egberto. So. Okay, for right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We got 8. We got quorum.
Excellent. You were previously sent by the secretary the agenda and the prior meeting minutes. I can find the agenda and read it.
I can read it if you want. I have it open.
I would love it if you would do that.
Okay. Okay, roll call, approve agenda, minutes approval for April 3rd meeting, announce results of elections, report from Stephanie, Ray, the motion adopted by the PNB, briefing by Eileen Rosen, former audit committee chair, set meeting schedule for the year and whether to use Zoom or Maestro, non-disclosure agreement and consent for electronic transmission documents. And we have just a sort of boilerplate adjourned to executive session if we need it. But I don't believe there is one scheduled for tonight.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Darlene. Is there any discussion? Let me just add in a little point of discussion. The NDA and the electronic transfer certification, we do not yet have those from folks, but I do not believe we will be discussing anything that is confidential this evening. So unless there are objections, I suggest that we rustle those in between now and the next meeting.
Susan, the PNB directors already have their their non-disclosure and the electronic forms on file for this year.
Okay, excellent. Fred, you were about to say.
Yeah, thanks for recognizing me. I sent in my NDA last week, I believe it was. I first sent it to Kim and you, and then I sent it to Stephanie and the PNB secretary.
I never got it, Fred.
Well, I don't know what happened, but I did send it to you and Susan.
Can you send it again, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
And sorry, Fred, I appreciate your sending it in. And unfortunately, I know that I get a little bit lost about who has and hasn't. I know I've signed it and sent it, but I want to make sure it goes to the right people. So I think you're right. The committee chair, the committee secretary, Stephanie, and the PNB secretary. That way we've got all the bases covered. Okay, is there any additional discussion about the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Next item up is minutes. Has everybody received them, reviewed them? Is there a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve the minutes. I didn't have any problem with them.
A second, I read them over and I moved to accept them too.
Excellent. So is there any further discussion? Hearing no objections, so the minutes are approved. Next item up is a report from Stephanie. Stephanie is with us, has been. Stephanie, will you be kind? I know that you already started to sort of let people know where we are on things, but would you be kind to cover that officially in the meeting?
She's muted.
Yeah, there she goes.
Yes, I needed permission there to be unmuted. Yes, we have officially signed the letter with Rogers and Company for the audit, and we have met with them even prior to, they had sent the letter to us a while ago, but we didn't want to get everything, you know, officially moving forward until that motion was passed by the National Board and by your committee. We have received a list of what we need to do and basically a timeline, papers and such that we need to pull. So Markeisha did start on that process much earlier than actually signing of the papers. So we have, it appears, everything that we need to move forward. I'm sure that there will be hiccups along the way, but, you know, we will deal with those as we get to them. And the only thing really that is a hindrance at this point is that according to the agreement, we need to have 50% of our audit fees paid by the start of commencing our audit. And then we need to have 50% of the audit fees paid 30 days after the commencement of the audit. And then 100% of any tax fees that we have will be due at the time the draft returns are submitted for review. So the total cost of the audit will be $75,800. And so we need, before we officially start, we will need to have half of that paid to them, which is roughly, what, 39.4, something like that. But anyway, so that's where we're kind of at this point. But Rogers & Company has been, as I said, kind enough to give us lists of things we need. We've had a couple of meetings, as I said, with them already. And so we're moving forward on our side. But as soon as we start to officially commence everything, we will need to pay them fee.
So are there questions for Stephanie? A question that I have is, I know that the sale of the KPFK building, the proceeds from that property were going to permit us to become current with many of the obligations we have. Can you report, or will you report to the PNB, the status of generating enough funds to initiate the audit?
Yes, part of the original, it still was in draft form, but the spreadsheet that I created on the use of the funds from the sale, one of the line items in that was the complete payment of the audit and any of these fees. So that is earmarked for that. And the audit company knows that we are in the process of trying to sell the building in LA. So hopefully that, you know, will also allow them to possibly start early without us having to pay the 50% before commencement. But we have earmarked funds to pay for the audit in its entirety.
An additional question. Last year, we had the support of NEDA. This year, We have a business manager at the national level who is also covering KPFT. What do you anticipate? How do you anticipate handling this load?
Well, that's what we have been, you know, that's why we were happy to be able to meet a little bit earlier with the firm in order to have them work with us creating a timeline and needed materials. So it will, you know, it will be a journey, but they are aware that we are, you know, somewhat shorthanded because we don't have the backing of the entire NIDA organization in working with us. But hopefully we will have everything organized prior to the start of it, and they will work closely with us so we can, you know, again, address any hiccups that we happen to hit along the way.
We had requested that there be a new audit partner. Has that been put in place?
No.
Will that be possible?
Yeah, a new audit partner, meaning?
Meaning this work with George over the audit, but because we have a continuation of using this auditor, one of the ways to assure that there is, you know, hands-off sort of relationship is to have a different audit partner for this, for the engagement this year. Is that possible?
Oh, I'm sure it will be, yes.
Okay, great. Eileen?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, I told this to a couple of you. The first year, Jorge was not our partner. It was Scott Mitchell, I think. So however many years he's been with Rogers, you can subtract 1 year from the time Jorge's been with us. So if you're looking at changing the partner because it's been 5 years, it's not, it's been four or three. I'd have to go back to the book. I've forgotten. But, you know, I think the sort of standard or rule of thumb is 5 years. So, just so you know, so you can decide whether you really need to do that this year or not.
Thank you very much, Eileen. I appreciate that. Any other questions for Stephanie? Okay. Next up is Eileen.
Well, are we going to excuse Stephanie then?
Thank you for asking, Darlene. Stephanie, if you have other things to do, go ahead. What we're going to continue is the conversation with Eileen, who will give us some perspectives from last year, and then discuss upcoming meetings and NDA and other certifications.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Bye-bye. Can I just say something? I can't hear Eileen very well. I wonder, Eileen, can you fix your audio a little bit better? You're coming in kind of blurry.
I just moved my microphone closer to me.
We can hear better.
Is that better? Good.
Okay. So, Eileen, did I say your name wrong?
I don't remember. How did you say it?
No, you said Eileen. You said, do you mean me?
was that you? I thought it was Sue Goodman. Goodwin.
No.
Sorry, I didn't.
No. So, Eileen, we would really appreciate your perspectives about last year and the work that we have ahead of us.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to say just because I think you are seemingly prepared. You know, I listened to the meeting, was it 2 weeks ago?
Excuse me, sorry to interrupt. Sue, can you mute?
Me, Susan?
Can Sue Goodwin mute or can somebody else Oh, she did it. Thank you.
Go ahead, Eileen. And at one point you were close to the microphone and then you're farther away again.
Let me see. It's a separate item here. Because my computer is literally falling apart and its microphone doesn't work anymore. Let's see. Yeah, I think, you know, with every year that went by, we got better and better. And in terms of getting the audit done, you know, the first few years, probably with Rogers at least, you know, NETA had to spend a lot of time just reconstructing the finances and the books. So there were lots of, you know, accounts receivable that, you know, maybe we received, but they weren't tied to the original entry, or payables that we paid and weren't tied to the original payables. So they had to do a lot of detective work. And I think, I suspect that a lot of the documentation wasn't in the kind of shape it should be for normally for an audit. But, you know, people did receive some training over that time. At least, you know, I have the experience at WPFW, seeing how that went. And they did, you know, I thought NETA, they were great. They were professional. They knew what they were doing. I think they didn't get to do as much as they had originally expected or hoped to do, just because of the sheer volume of cleanup work that they had to do. I did spend a lot of time outside of meetings, you know, talking to NETA and on occasion the auditors, but more, I say the auditors, it's always one person, but more to NETA, whether Anita or George or what's her name, Julia. Anyway, so I was really sorry to see them go, especially since they had finally, you know, gotten to where they had a very clear idea of where they were and where things were and had cleaned everything up. So it's kind of sad that they don't get to enjoy the fruits of their labor in that. Kim, I have the feeling, are you not seeing the screen? Zach Calvier just came on, FYI.
Welcome, Zach. Would you just speak up and say you're here?
Zach Culver's here.
Welcome.
Okay, thank you. I'll mark you present.
Great. You know, so we just kind of inched our way through the first couple, 3 years. And, you know, there was always something holding things up. But we finally, we did like two of the audits. You know, have them ready within like a 3 month period or something. I'm sorry, I'm not as prepared as I could have been to remember like which years am I talking about? I don't know. You know, we finished up 1 year and then had the next year done really quickly. You know, there have been disputes at times or some either disagreements or misunderstandings on the committee while I was chair, but I don't think they were particularly significant. The idea was, you know, we had professional people working on our numbers and they got through them all. And, you know, the audits have been, you know, typical audits, I'd say, audit documents. I've worked with other nonprofits doing financial management. So, you know, I've seen what they look like. So I'd say another change that we had with Rogers was in the management letters. As you may have noticed, within Pacifica, there's often some contention among stations or groups of people. And in earlier audits, I think they pulled out like who did what or which station didn't do something on time or correctly or whatever. We stopped doing that. We don't do that in the management letters anymore. And I think that's good. I think it was more a case of if there were problems, let's not point fingers, but like try to see where additional support is needed. So I think NETA provided a lot of that support, and the auditor recognized that. And so that made for, you know, less contentious. One little piece of plot of land, of Pacifica land, that was less contentious. Going forward, I really am not quite in the loop. I don't know how Markeisha is doing in terms of being able to get through everything, and what is or isn't going to happen at the stations eventually. I guess Stephanie took off, huh? You know,
we need permission to leave. Sorry.
Permission. No, I've always had this pipe dream about like getting all the stations to do things the same way to make it easier to consolidate the numbers and things. I have my own pet peeves about Pacifica's accounting, which maybe I shouldn't get into here because I don't want to be an old crank about the things that bug me, but it's almost more on the actual financial management side of things, with, you know, like the chart of accounts and how things are defined and how they're entered into the books. So I won't go there, but, you know, we still need an actual finance and accounting policies and practices manual. So, you know, something to really guide people. And
is that something that's been cited in management letters?
I believe it has, yes. You know, that way you know what you're supposed to do. And it helps keep people on track. And also, auditors tend to look on that more favorably, you know. And if we ever have any outsiders conducting an audit, like hypothetically, if we got a large grant from somewhere, sometimes large grantors want to conduct their own audits. So we'd want to be prepared for that, but that probably wouldn't be the case for a while anyway.
Right. We could wish.
So things like that. But I think in any case, depending on how Markeisha is doing and how she's able to move forward with all the stations, the audit this year should be even cleaner because, you know, NETA cleaned a lot of stuff up. And they left, let's see, just before the end of this fiscal year. So they did, they were present for most of fiscal year 22. So, you know, we might be okay there.
I think they left as of July 1, Darlene.
No, they left like a week. They were supposed to stay through September 30th, and they left like a week before that.
Okay.
The reason was to save a little bit of money to pay something else. So that's what I know about that. Sometimes in the past, another point of contention was some of the people who were on the committee in previous years would get bogged down in some of the financial management aspects and some of the actual accounting aspects of the books in ways that I didn't think belonged to this committee. They were more for the finance committee. And so, you know, we did have to spend some time sometimes trying to get ourselves out of that quagmire. That took up some time, but maybe that won't happen this year. And we did coordinate. You know, there were times when we had Jim Sagerton attending this meeting, or I would attend the finance committee meeting, because obviously there's a lot of overlap between what we do or what the finance committee does influences how the audit
the audit committee is, or what the audit committee can expect. So, you know, I would encourage that kind of crossover if you can. You know, just you can invite Jim to, you know, come and give updates to the audit committee on how things are going. Or Stephanie can do that too, I guess. But even so, they have different approaches. I don't know if Markeisha will come. I get the impression she sleeps 2 hours a night and is working the rest of the time. So she might not feel like it, but you might try to get her here at least once. The one time I got to speak with her, she seemed very competent and calm. And, you know, that was very reassuring. What else could I say?
Let me just ask quickly, how many on this call have served on the audit committee in the past, and including you, Kim?
4, 5, 6, pretty much everybody.
Maybe. I haven't, but I served on NFC.
Okay, and maybe
Kim. I've served on the audit committee as a director and the NFC as the treasurer 2 different times.
Mm.
So I've been around a few blocks here.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm not sure if Ali Lexa has ever been on this committee.
No.
And I have not.
Fred, you... Oh, sorry, Wally?
No, I have not been on this committee.
You haven't? I thought you were. I must have been on some other committee.
Yeah, there's something else.
Okay. And... Fred has been, I was on the audit committee for 3 years, and I was chair of the audit committee for 3 years.
Oh.
And I've also been the treasurer for 2 or 3 years and served on the NFC. So I've been on both of the financial committees, standing financial committees of the PNB.
Jim Dingman just asked who was the streamer, and the streamer, if I'm not mistaken, is Fred.
Yeah,
got it.
Right. But it's a separate call in.
Right. He wears 2 hats at the same time.
He wears many hats often.
So who is this with the ending digits of 5594? Is that a committee member?
I don't know who that is.
Me neither. They just muted themselves. All right.
And at 5594, can you identify yourself? Okay.
To the person who's the unidentified person, it is being streamed. So if you want to just, you're not a member and want to listen, you can hear it on KPFTX.
That person be put in the waiting room until they can identify themselves?
Well, they can also be kicked off.
So, 5594. If you don't identify yourself, we will remove you, and you can go to the stream.
And the stream is www.kpftx.org.
So 5594, going once, going twice. Fred, will you be kind to remove 5594?
I will. Excuse me, I am a member of the committee.
Oh, well, who is it?
Okay. Who is this? We didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm not used to phones and Zoom. It's Catherine O'Sullivan from WBAI, and I'm a member of the committee. And I apologize
Wonderful.
For
Thank
my late
you.
Arrival.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for announcing yourself, and the secretary will note that you are attending.
Thank you.
Great. What else was I going to say before I let you get back to business? Oh, just that for those of you who don't already know, I would say that the audit committee, while our duties are important and vital and require integrity and, you know, true interests of the foundation, we probably have the least to do of any given committee within Pacifica. We didn't have that many meetings while I was chair, or we would have meetings only when there was really something to do, whether it was to discuss how the audit was coming along or when we were getting towards the audit being ready so we could check in with the auditor and with any TA to see if there were problems or, you know, just to be brought up to speed on it. And then, you know, our real duty is to have the auditor present the draft of the audit to us. And, you know, we can ask questions and we can't suggest really material changes because the audit doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the auditors. So what they come up with is what it is. But, you know, sometimes we can make suggestions for, you know, broadening or better portraying why something, you know, the text, let's say. So that is a useful thing. And then we send that, if we agree, we send that off to the PNB with our recommendation that they approve it, and their approving it really means that the ED will then sign the document and send it off to the powers that be. So those are...
Eileen, a quick question. Do they approve or do they accept the audit?
Who, the PNB?
Yeah.
I don't think they get to approve it either. I think they accept it. And then they instruct
the ED to go ahead and sign.
Yes.
There has been problems with that word accept for people who didn't know what that meant by the end of the audit period. We do not approve or we do not say yay or nay to the audit auditors. We are given the audit to present to management and the PMB.
Got it. Jim Dingman, you've got your hand up.
Yeah. So I'm just curious why there always is, by some, a big storm and drum about the audits, because it seems like it's a perfunctory task that has to be implemented. I know this year we're going to need the FSRs for the CPB application. Maybe Eileen can shed light on this, because I'm trying to figure out why do people make such a big deal about what goes on in these audits.
Let me just suggest, Jim, my goal is for this committee to be businesslike and boring, for us to have no controversies unless they arise for a damn good reason.
Well, yeah, I can hear that. I can hear that, but I'm just curious. I just, you know, because do people, I've been reading some explanations. They imply that there's this big conspiracy of.
I think the part of it was Jim, who was serving on it last year. There were people, I know at least one person who loves conspiracies and was serving on the committee last year.
And the year before that, there was a huge hue and cry. And it tends to be people who don't have financial experience or management experience who are going, they're going looking for ammunition. So they poke all over the audit. And again, like I just tried to sort out, that the word accept in finance is not the same as the word accept in regular English usage. And those kinds of words would just set off a cacophony of well, conspiracy theories. So, So that's where the previous years that I was on the audit committee, where it came from, and I'd be happy to talk to you in a more less circumspect manner, since we're on the air, but a less circumspect manner off this meeting, Jim.
I think Eileen brought in a very important point, which is there's a distinction between things that are matters that get dealt with in the National Finance Committee and things that get dealt with here. So understanding what our lane is will be very important, and we will be welcoming expertise about that, including Eileen's and those who've served before. My apologies, yes, Marilyn, you've had your hand up. Marilyn, did we lose you? Yeah, you are not. We need you to unmute.
Yeah, I just,
there you go.
I just wanted to know if we could move the agenda and go ahead with what the meeting is planned for tonight.
What, you're tired of listening to me?
Susan?
Yes.
May I be recognized to read something from the Nonprofit Integrity Act of 2004?
Please go ahead.
The audit committee must confer with the auditor to satisfy committee members that the financial affairs of the nonprofit organization are in order. Review the audit and decide whether to accept it. And this is about approving non-audit services, which doesn't relate to us. So our job, or the committee's job, is to review the audit and decide whether to accept it. So that's from the California legislation.
Okay, so I appreciate Marilyn's notion that we move forward with the agenda and have our meetings be time sensitive. The next, we've already discussed the NDAs and the signing of the certificates. We will try to hustle those in soon.
There's
and
some new people here. There's some new people. If you could just make that point again to the
sure.
new people who have joined us.
Sure. There are, Kim has forwarded to you a non-disclosure agreement and the authorization for electronic transfer of information. We request that you sign both of those and forward them to several people. One of them is to myself, the committee chair. One is to Kim Kaufman, the committee secretary. Another is to the national board secretary, who is
Nancy Sorden.
Nancy Sorden. And
secretary at pnb.org.
Thank you very much. And we'll forward that to everybody as well. And then to Stephanie. So we'd like to accomplish that between now and the next meeting. Are there ideas? I heard Eileen say that you didn't meet very often in the past. So I'd like ideas from people about how frequently and when. And I'd like to ask Fred, who I know has been very active and has chaired this committee before, what's your recommendation? Fred, if you would unmute.
Okay. I thought I was on muting, but I actually muted myself. I note that the committee hasn't met in between audits. Obviously, when the audit gets intense and there are problems, it's probably a good idea to meet twice a month, or maybe more than that. And especially getting close to the end of the audit, if there are issues that the committee needs to weigh in on, meeting once every week if it's necessary, it can take place. But I noticed that in between audits, the committee has been pretty dormant. Eileen, do you want to weigh in on that? Is there any work the committee could perform after the audit is completed?
I never saw really any reason, you know, anything else for us to do. I did want to point out that when we hired Rogers, when we found them and brought them on, that was one of the audit committee's other major duties, which is to identify and recommend for hiring the audit firm. It doesn't mean that we have to go through that process every year. You know, we went through a whole process of looking for appropriate candidates to be our audit firm, and we vetted them and we checked their references and we talked to them and this and that, and we ended up with Rogers. So that was a time consuming and somewhat large effort that we made a while back, you know, 5 years ago, for whatever, whenever that was. There was some noise made this year. It sounded like that people thought we were going to hire a new audit firm, or maybe I misunderstood what I was hearing. But, you know, that only comes around every so often.
We very intentionally sent forward the motion to continue with Rogers and Company, and we did that at our convening meeting so that could move forward promptly.
Yeah, that's great. But in terms of other things you could be doing, you know, I think taking into account Pacifica's current structure and what feels to me like a lack of access for most of us to delving into the books, you know, getting into the nitty gritty of the numbers or of the bookkeeping, I'm not sure what else there is to do, other than some of the things I mentioned earlier, like working on an accounting manual for policies and procedures, you know, to both govern us and to guide us. That to me is a big deal. And maybe we could help come up with a plan for getting everybody to do things the same way. And just to give an example, a few years ago, one member of this committee asked for a list of all the consultants for a given year. And so I was able to get that information for all the stations. And I got to see basically a general ledger of all the consultants. And I saw how each station defined consultants and how they entered them. And it was totally different. You know, for example, Netta was a consulting company. They were external experts performing a service for us. The guy who comes and repairs your Xerox machine is a service. He or she is not a consultant. He's part of a company that would be booked under maintenance, equipment maintenance, or something like that. But
let me suggest that this is a level of detail that we might be thinking about in the future.
No.
I appreciate your bringing these to our attention, what the nitty gritty is. And I've got, Marilyn, you've got your hand up for quite a while.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Eileen had a very useful list of things that audit committees do. And she sent it out to all the members, and I thought that was really helpful by way of review. If you know where that is, Eileen, and you could send it out again, it might be useful.
I have a number of those, so I'll try to weed through them and pick out some of the best ones on different topics. So you're not like looking at five different documents on what all the committees are supposed to do and like which one should I look at. So I think, you know, I can leave it there. I know, you know, people probably want to move forward in the meeting. I'm always available if I can help in any way. Please feel free to get in touch. And otherwise, I'll just be listening on the stream.
We're very grateful to you, Eileen. Your experience and your historic continuity are just incredibly valuable to us. And as we get farther along, I would hope that we would be able to pose more direct questions to you. And also the question of coming up with financial policies and procedures and where that responsibility should reside.
Yeah.
I think we're leaving it that we are not going to be meeting frequently. We'll meet as needed. And perhaps that will be when we get, when Stephanie alerts us that we can have updates about things. I also suggest that we, when we have our meetings, that we have them Tuesday nights, if people don't mind that. The reason why I bring that up is NFC meets Tuesday nights, and there should not. Okay, great. Yes, thank you, Eileen. Happy to explain some of the issues off stream. The two committees are not supposed to have overlap. Unless Jim Sigerton is coming and addressing us, and they're no longer meeting once a week, so we would be able to offset that. Yeah, I know. So if there is no objection, that will be our plan, will be to meet as needed.
Could Fred say something?
Oh, please, Fred.
Yeah, you're right. The bylaws say that there's a firewall between the Finance Committee and the Audit Committee. But if you read the California Nonprofit Integrity Act of 2004, which Kim sent out, they actually recommend some cross membership between the Finance Committee and the Audit Committee. So I don't know where that firewall came from. I don't see a conflict of interest between the Finance Committee and the Audit Committee. And that's the only reason you would have a firewall. If there was some kind of basic conflict of interest and you want to protect against that. And historically, the Audit Committee has met at the same time as the Finance Committee because there wasn't cross membership. In my time, when I was chair of the Audit Committee, both committees were meeting on Tuesday nights. I saw you shaking your head, Eileen.
Yeah.
So Eileen, go and respond.
I didn't hear that.
We've met on Mondays, the Audit Committee.
Monday is fine with me, and especially since I stream the Finance Committee also. If they don't meet at the same time, that makes it easier for me to stream both committees rather than having a conflict.
Yeah.
We'd have to get Otis to stream one of the committees if the committees meet at the same time. I just mentioned that. So I just thought I'd mention that, you know, the fact that the bylaws have this firewall and the Nonprofit Integrity Act of California doesn't.
I think the Nonprofit Integrity Act, however, limits the degree to which there is an overlap.
Well, they say that there should be less than 50% membership of the Finance Committee on the Audit Committee.
Right.
I can read it for you if you want. I have it right here.
Go ahead.
The Audit Committee cannot include staff members, the president or chief executive officer, the treasurer or chief financial officer of the organization. If an organization has a finance committee, members of that committee may serve on the local committee but cannot comprise 50% or more of the audit committee. The chairperson of the audit committee may not be a member of the finance committee.
So I don't believe that that act is advising it's a good idea. I think it's limiting the degree to which there can be overlap. Eileen, you had several hands up. Let me start with Eileen, who I think had her hand up first.
Just briefly, I think the point is that the Finance Committee is much more involved with management, you know, the CFO and ED and how they're, you know, booking things, et cetera, et cetera. The Audit Committee, well, the audit is meant to analyze what management has done with regard to the financials. So there are two different tasks. And, you know, the Audit Committee is exercising more of an, how would you say it?
They're auditing management.
Management. So that's why they need to be kept separate, because you don't want to leave room for fraud. You know, you don't want to have people from management auditing the work.
Themselves.
Yeah. So that's all. That's why.
Okay. I think the people in order are Jim and Kim. I don't know if that's a legacy hand. And then Darlene. Jim Dingaman.
All right. Thank you, Kim, for sending out that material. I have one or two questions concerning it, and obviously the scheduling should be done so it logically doesn't conflict with other committees. Has there ever been, and you have a few people here have been involved with this process for a while, have we ever hired a commercial fundraiser? Because I saw in that discussion of the California codes, they were talking about commercial fundraising. Has Pacifica ever actually done that in the past?
No.
Okay, thank you. I was trying to clarify that.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
For a decade or so.
All right. And then the other question is on the gifts. How far granularly down do they need to maintain that data? Are we talking about individual donors at each station, somebody pledging? Because part of that says you have to keep records of that, some of the stuff you sent me. Is that how far down it goes to individual donors when they're pledging?
Eileen, you want
to speak to that?
Thank you, Darlene. Go ahead.
Yes. One of the services that Maria Negrete was applauded for by NETA is that she did in-house the granular coordinating. Can't think of the word. When you make everything match, the reconciliation, the pledge, the person, what their pledge was, how they paid it, and how it showed up in our bank. It's that granular to have your tracking, the route things move, to have that, it's that granular. A $25 pledge has four different places that it's listed or recorded.
Mm-hmm. All right, last question. And I see if we have a couple of former chairs here, that's good. So when's the fastest that we've ever completed the audit? Has it always been dependent on, you know, my experience is I've never seen an audit completed on time. And usually it's just simply a lack of money to pay for the auditor. Is there a period when we've actually done it in a rapid fashion? Does anybody know that?
I can speak to that.
Go on, Fred.
No,
it's Kim.
I remember in the early years, we had audits done in January. The in-person meeting, the auditor came out to LA at an in-person meeting and spoke to the committee. The audits went south in 2014. That's when they went south. 2014. And we're still trying to get back on track from that time.
Okay. There's still a hand up for Darlene.
I'll call that legacy at this point.
And Kim?
Because I want to get back to scheduling a meeting, and I'm looking on the calendar, and the idea of doing alternate Tuesdays is a good one. April 16th, a month from now, is totally blank on Tuesday, April 16th.
May 16th?
Yes, May 16th. And it would be kind of good to grab that date. We can always cancel, but that's a clear date. And, you know, to do it on alternate Tuesdays might be good. But, you know, this puppy is due June. So we may need more meetings in, and I can schedule June 20th. Because that's blank also, and then we can fill in other meetings if we need to.
Thank you. I think if there is no objection, why don't you go ahead and do that? Darlene, you have your hand up again?
Yes, I do. I liked your idea of we have our next meeting when we are alerted that the auditors are underway. They've been paid and they've started, and we would like to meet and talk with them, but twice a month is, I think, highly unnecessary.
She suggested once a month.
And the problem with Darlene's idea is if we get, you know, like, you know, a call of something happening, we still need 7 days to look ahead and schedule a meeting.
So I think your suggestion was to secure May 17th and June 20th.
Right.
Have those on noticed on the calendar, and if not necessary, they could be canceled.
Correct.
Was that your idea?
Yes, and we can schedule other things, but they do need 7 days notice. So, you know.
Just to clarify, you're saying alternate from the National Finance Committee meetings.
Yes.
Correct. Okay, so if there's no objection to that idea, are there any more matters we need to discuss this evening? Is there a motion to adjourn?
I propose a motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Is there any objection?
We need a second, and I'll do that.
We don't need a second in committee. Per Robert's rules. Eileen, yeah.
Yeah, I put a document in the chat. Our retention and destruction policy, which is recent, it's current. So,
okay, great. And there are the 990 checkoff policies. I'd like to check in with you. You know, things like compensation. All that sort of stuff. Okay, we've had a motion to adjourn. There is no opposition. So we are adjourned. Thank you very much, all.
Congratulations.
Good meeting.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.